with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed the child in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that there are angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The challenge today: after 50 are slaughtered and 200 wounded, for us to celebrate the Feast of the Guardian Angels, because it seems that at least 250 didn't do their job last night at first glance. People make the same claim against God, of course, that God has the ability to prevent all evil, so why doesn't he do it, especially when that evil comes close to home? It does set the scene for us to understand the importance of guardian angels and the cooperation that's necessary on the part of human beings, because no matter how hard they work, their ministrations are not sufficient, because God will never remove human free will, including the capacity to do tremendous evil, as happened last night. So let's look at the repair God has given against sin and how he gives us this gift of a personal helper, of a guide, of what one saint called a bodyguard, Saint Francis de Sales, to guide us all the way toward heaven. We're living in a world which is hyper-scientistic, not scientific, in which if you can't examine a reality under a microscope, believes that it isn't there. Today is a day in which we recognize that the world is far bigger than we can sense with the senses that God has given us, that there's a whole realm of being that goes way beyond our day-to-day knowledge. And even though we affirm the Catechism, paragraphs 300 to 336, about the truth of faith with regard to angels, for many of us, including many priests and religious, these truths about the guardian angels remain somewhat theoretical and not practical, because we don't allow the guardian angels enough space to do in our lives what they want to help us to do, to praise God and to love others. So today's a chance for us to delve far more deeply into this gift and allow this gift to become far more alive. Today's first reading we see in the book of Exodus. God says to the Israelites, and then to each of us, "I am sending an angel before you to guard you on your way, to bring you to the place I have prepared." In the responsorial psalm, we pray with the words of Psalm 91, "The Lord has put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways." Yes, it's an extraordinary reality that God cares about our salvation so much that he doesn't just leave us on our own. Sends his guardian angel to help us. But we can't see the guardian angel, so how can we easily follow him? We can't hear his voice in the ways that we hear others, so how helpful can it be? God wants us to open ourselves up to their ministrations, but it requires a lot of effort on our part. That's why he says in the first reading, "Be attentive to him. Beware of his presence." Heed his voice. Do not rebel, because my authority resides in him. And he promises, if you heed his voice and care at all, I tell you, I'll be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. To be attentive to our guardian angel, so that we can hear his voice, which is softer even than a whisper. If God gives us the guardian angel and gives us his command, he's going to give us the capacity to hear that voice and heed that command. But we've got to open up and receive that gift and long for it so that it changes us. I don't want to focus too much on the theology of guardian angels. There's a lot that we could ponder. But I would like to talk about the practical reality of guardian angels in our life. How are guardian angels really supposed to help us? They're supposed to help us literally in every way. Let's begin with our prayer. As Jesus says in the Gospel about the littlest, but also of us, that our angels are constantly before the face of our Heavenly Father, praying for us in heaven. It's an extraordinary reality that, as we pondered on Friday with the Feast of the Holy Archangels, they're constantly ascending and descending, ascending to praise God and descending to help us. To be confident that they're praying for us at all times, that we're never abandoned. Second aspect about prayer is that they want to pray with us and help us to pray. You know, so often you've got senior citizens who come forward with great contrition saying that they fall asleep every night as they try to pray the rosary. They can't finish. The great encouragement of the church is, make sure you pray your rosary to your guardian angel. Your guardian angel will finish with you, finish for you. Don't try to pray alone. Likewise, sisters, I mean, yesterday we had the Feast of St. Therese, and I don't know if it's a little bit of a challenge for at least one of you, but if you're tired in the morning, you know what St. Therese said in her L'Histoire du Lem, that God the Father loves his children just as a parent sometimes loves a child even more when a child happens to fall asleep. So our Heavenly Father loves us at that time too, that a child falls asleep in the strong arms of a parent, knowing that the parent is trusted. And likewise, we're put to sleep before surgery happens to us. And sometimes when we fall asleep, the divine physician can do a surgery. St. Therese wasn't paranoid about that. And it's one of the reasons for her way of simple trust that she was able to offer up even her fatigue in her thanksgiving after Holy Communion, she would say at that moment, but she might be able to be even most alert. But what I'd encourage at the same time is this great confidence that as we invoke our guardian angel to help, pray each of these with us, even if we happen by human weakness to doze, the prayer continues, the praise continues, the love of God continues. And that person's not just doing it independent of us, but together with and for us. I personally use my guardian angel to help me in the four forms of prayer. The praise. So easy to learn from your guardian angel how to praise God aright. Thanks. The guardian angel's not only able to remind us of all that God has done that we're aware of, but all that God has done and is continuing to do that we're not aware of. That time when we were 3 minutes late leaving the door because we would have been hit by a Mack truck and flattened and killed. The many things that we can't observe, our guardian angel is aware of that. The ways that God has prevented us from sinning by removing a near occasion from our midst when he knew we were too vulnerable. He can help us to be grateful for everything. Third, contrition. What an extraordinary help the guardian angel is in preparing for confession and praying for contrition in our time of adoration. The guardian angel knows it all. And if we don't have sorrow for our sins, our guardian angel has great shame. He was a little bit of a failure, at least objectively, with regard to not allowing us to succumb to that temptation. He knows it all. He can remind us of what we've done, as well as help fill us with a proper, holy contrition for God, the type of contrition that He has, not out of fear of punishment, but out of love for God who gives Himself to us at all times. Similarly, with prayers of petition, the guardian angel, our guardian angel, and others' guardian angels can help us so much. You know that somebody's struggling. You don't quite know what it's about. You've tried to approach the person, but the person is too tight. The person won't share. But you can always pray to that pray to God for whatever that person's guardian angel is praying for. Praying for whatever that guardian angel is praying for. Likewise, our guardian angels know what we most need. And so it's a beautiful thing to say to our guardian angels as we pray, I'm praying for what you're praying for me, for those people I'm going to meet today, to the graces I need to be more responsive to here. I pray for what you're praying for is an ever greater awareness and attentiveness to what you're trying to do for me and through me to praise God and to descend in humble service of others. What an extraordinary gift the guardian angels are for us in our prayer. And it's there for the taking, but a lot of the times we go about it alone when God wants us always to be praying with two or more in His name. When we unite with our guardian angels, we're always praying in communion. The guardian angels likewise help us in our work throughout the day. They're assisting us in accomplishing what the Lord has given, especially when we have to meet other people. St. Jose Maria heard his call to found Opus Dei 89 years ago today at the Church of Our Lady of the Angels in Madrid. And he had an extraordinary devotion to the guardian angels, not just from his infancy, but because of the connection of Opus Dei with this feast and the church dedicated to the angels. So whenever he would be meeting with anyone, he would first greet the big shot in the room, as he used to call it in Spanish, the guardian angel, before he'd even greet the person. And once we greet the guardian angel, how much easier it is for us to treat this person with the reverence with which the guardian angel treats this person. The guardian angels are secrets for your keeping your fourth vow to reverence every person. I'm convinced if most of the world were to recognize that every child growing in the womb from the first moment of conception has a guardian angel, that choice to just discard the person according to the culture of waste and death wouldn't be made, at least at the frequency with which it's presently made. So one of the aspects of fomenting a culture of life is to help people revere in the way God and His angels revere every human person. So to greet those guardian angels, to be aware of those guardian angels. Likewise, in our work, the guardian angels can help us in so many other ways when we really need a favor. I always think it's kind of neat that people turn to St. Anthony for car spots. You've got the entire angelic realm to help you with car spots. Not only your guardian angel, but the guardian angel of the person in the cafe who's just lounging, who should be coming out to move the parking spot. In almost every other circumstance, to just be aware and take advantage, because God wants us to, of this realm. And it opens up a whole new vision. And lastly, about Mass. For us to pray Mass as it really deserves, our guardian angels want to help us. I don't preach a lot about mystics, but this mystic is approved by the church in Bolivia. Her name's Catalina Rivas. And whenever I think about the guardian angels at the Mass, I always think about the interior locutions and the visions that she has had, in which Mary and Jesus have explained what really happens at the Mass. Was one part in one of those mystical experiences in which she had had her interior eyes open to what was occurring, and Mary was basically doing color commentary on the Mass for her at that time. And at the time of the offertory, she was looking out over all those seated in the cathedral. She started to see people come out that she hadn't seen before, almost as if they were coming from behind everyone she had seen. They were dressed with white, with bare feet, and they were carrying golden bowls. And as they were approaching the altar in an offertory procession, their feet were sort of gliding rather than touching. She asked Mary who these were, and the Blessed Mother told her, "These are the guardian angels of those who are coming to Mass with something to offer. And inside those golden bowls are the prayers and the sacrifices and the needs that they're bringing to my Son." After that procession was a second one in which you had similar people dressed in white with bare feet bringing empty golden bowls. And Catalina turned to Our Lady and said, "Who are these?" "These are the people who are present at Mass, but haven't brought anything to offer." And then there was a third procession. Same angels, similar angels, whose faces were saddened. And they were coming up with no bowls. And Mary explained that these are the guardian angels of those who don't want to be present at Mass. They've kind of been dragged there, more or less against their will. They not only have nothing to offer, but are saddened to be at Mass. And so their guardian angels themselves are saddened that they themselves have not been able to help them prepare for Mass, to see what an extraordinary opportunity it is and to unite themselves with it. Today, as we come forward, our guardian angels are here with us. They really know what's about to occur. They want to help us to hang on every word that comes from the mouth of God, to live by the truths that God has taught us. They want to help us to offer everything we are and have in that offertory procession. One sister will come on up, but all our angels will come on up, and they want to be able to offer something commensurate with the sacrifice in which Jesus gives all. Today, let us turn to the Lord who has put his angels in charge of us to guide us in all our way, to thank him for this extraordinary gift, to ask for the grace that we may pay attention to them and heed their voice so that they might lead us all the way to our heavenly homeland. We ask in a special way forgiveness of our guardian angels, for the times that we haven't followed their light and guidance, ways we haven't allowed them to protect and guard us. And to intercede for us today, that from this point forward, we might allow them to do in our life what God has given them the vocation and the mission to accomplish. Sanctity is easy, sisters. All we really have to do is heed our angels.